Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan, and thank you for joining me for the 98th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Anna Golindahina. She is originally from St. Petersburg, Russia, a major cultural center in Europe on the Baltic Sea with 5 million inhabitants. Anna grew up a serious athlete, but during college, as she studied foreign languages, she found her way to dancing and totally fell in love with it. Having had a good experience during her exchange in Portland as a student, she was happy to win the diversity green card lottery and get to move back to Portland in July of 2014 as a resident. She's been working and dancing since, and thank you for joining me in the studio today, Anna.
Thank you for having me today.
Such a pleasure. Beautiful day out, even if it's cold.
It's actually very nice outside.
Yeah. So that's what people from Russia say. People from Africa would say, yes, it's very cold.
It's very cold, yeah. That's true.
So many people around the state are celebrating Easter this morning, but you said you didn't mind coming in today because it's not your Easter. And I wonder if you could explain that a little bit more.
Yeah. First of all, actually, happy Easter, everyone. At least happy Catholic Easter, everyone. Maybe most of you are now in church, but those who are not, happy Easter. Yeah, and so it's not my Easter because I'm Orthodox. And my Easter actually pretty late this year. It's 1st of May. I'm wondering why. I'm not really a specialist in the calendar, but yeah, I'm going to celebrate my Easter on May 1st.
Yes.
If anyone would like to join me, I'm happy to make our colorful eggs and share.
Is that what you do? Do you do the beeswax on the eggs?
We do a special coloring mm-hmm. on the eggs. Yeah.
Is it with onion skins?
You can do onion skins. That's a very traditional way to do that. If you don't have anything else. Yeah.
What would you use?
Well, actually, last year, because I only had the onion here, and I did not know if I can buy any coloring. So my mom, she sent me the special coloring stuff for the eggs. So this is what I'm going to use this year.
And are they mostly red?
No, all colors.
Oh, I saw online that...
blue, yellow, red, anything.
Yeah, we have that here too, I bet. Maybe
not
the same.
At least chocolate eggs. Yeah. Different colors.
Yes, and then I read, too, that, and is this your tradition, Orthodox Christians often will put eggs and bread on the graves of their loved ones. Is that something you've grown up doing?
Not really. I mean, on Easter, we would eat special bread, which calls, in English, we would translate it same as Easter, or in any other languages, I think it's known as Pascua. Mm-hmm. Especially in like Spanish, Italian. Yeah, so this is how it calls, and it's a special bread that we make on that day. So, and then plus these eggs, pretty much.
Yes, eggs and bread. It's a good meal.
Well, at least for Sunday, once a year.
And how did your family grow up when you were celebrating in St. Petersburg as a girl?
I moved to St. Petersburg actually later, so I was growing up a little... inside of Russia. We don't really celebrate that much Easter because a lot of people celebrate it in a way that they have a special diet for a month prior to that. So for them, Easter is a big day and they have a big dinner with all the food that they couldn't eat before, including meat especially. So my family, we always ate everything that we wanted. So, but the day of Easter for us, it's most actually these eggs and bread, but it's really special. So everyone is really it and waiting for it. And this bread sells everywhere, every corner of the street, you can buy that. And people just buying. And it's just
what
so
kind
crazy.
Of bread is this? What's it called?
It's called Pasqua. Pretty much the same. It just has it has raisin in it and it has some sweet stuff, kind of a frosting and stuff on mm-hmm. the top.
Is it a challah bread? The Jewish kind of woven...
Oh, I'm not really sure. Yeah, yeah. I'm not a baker. I don't really know. I mean, I wouldn't really say that this bread tastes so good, but it's just special because you cannot buy it. You can only buy it on that day.
Yes.
Once a year. So it's so special.
Yes, I like that. Those things that just come up every once in a while. So did you grow up in a small town?
No, it's still a big city. It's mm-hmm. just was very inside kind of like middle part of Russia, Ural Mountains. So I call myself half Asian, half European, because I grew up on the border, mm-hmm. official border between Asia and Europe. The geographical border.
Yes, that's right. So when did you realize that St. Petersburg was a sister city to Portland? Have you known that for a while?
What would you mean by sister city here?
Well, my understanding is that we have a number of exchanges between St. Petersburg, Russia, and Portland, Maine. Hmm. There's a law exchange. People go back and forth and spend time in each other's countries and learn how the different legal systems work.
Honestly, I'm not really aware of that.
Oh.
I would probably say that St. Petersburg may be very popular for Portland just because St. Petersburg, it's one of those two cities where everyone wants to come.
Because
like
it's gorgeous.
Moscow and St. Petersburg, just because Moscow is the capital and St. Petersburg is official cultural capital of Russia.
And the former capital too, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and the former capital mm-hmm. as well. And of course, people love it. And I always strongly recommend if you want to ever cover go to Russia, go to St. Petersburg. Spend all your time there. You would not regret because it's so beautiful.
What do you think people should do when they're there?
Oh my gosh, there's so much. So much. I mean, well, Russians, we are not really that much foodies maybe, but you still can find a lot of traditional food that you only pretty much, of course, eat in Russia because, you know, it's here it's a little different. And then, of course, there are so many museums and they're all, you know, pictures and something else, some other art. And it's just very interesting. A lot of museums of some famous writers that were like famous in, you know, whole world. And plus, as we have such a rich history. So we have a lot of suburbs with like palaces of our emperors. Mm. So then you come, it's just incredibly beautiful. It's kind of, sometimes it reminds me, some of them reminds me pretty much same as suburbs of Paris, because it has, because it was borrowed by our emperors from the Paris style, from this French style.
Oh.
Yeah, so some of them still reminds me. So it's very beautiful, a lot of fountains, a lot of like parks and trees, just very beautiful. Yeah.
It's a lovely city. So. Huge.
White
huge
nights
city.
As well.
And white nights.
And bridges.
So it sounds to me like you were always pretty active as a child, doing sports, music, acting, and what did you think of dancing when you were younger?
Okay. I didn't like dancing when I was young. I really did not like it, and I felt so bad dancing because I wasn't the, you know, I wasn't a dancer. I loved sport so much, and I spent all my time in sport, and I feel like a lot of people maybe face the same that I did, because once you're doing sport, you're so much used to that technical aspects and your body becomes a little bit like reserved. And as a dancer, you move like so open and it's just different. So I could memorize the moves very fast, but I just couldn't express them in the way that the dancers would do. So I didn't really like it. I love sport. I like something else. But one day I just realized that it's just the time to stop that, you know, just to try it and just like don't feel yourself as you're like a bad dancer. I was like, no, I have to learn that. I have to learn that. I want to dance and I want to be proud of myself. And I go somewhere and dance. I want people to say, wow, you're dancing so good.
Yeah.
So
you jumped right in though. You didn't just kind of take up dancing.
Yeah, I just fell in love. I just like fell in love the minute that I had it. I was really hesitating, and I honestly, as probably a lot of people do, with then they start something new, I was postponing it. So my motivation was pretty much that I had Cuban friends here in Portland, and I was invited a couple of times to their home parties. And I saw how they were dancing salsa, bachata, and reggaeton, and I was just amazed because it's just a family of maybe 20 people and they all dance it. And my family doesn't dance. So I've never met that before. I've never faced that before. So none of my family, okay, we can of course go to clubs and, you know, just generally dance some, you know, some music. But I don't really call that dancing because it's pretty much a little bit moving your body. But it's not like, you know, it's not like a real, you know, artistic dance. And I was amazed because there were people from like 10 years old to like 70 years old, and they moved so good, and I was like, okay, I have to try that.
Very appealing when you see a whole group of people moving in unison.
Yes.
Knowing what to expect from
and
each other.
And there was like grandson dancing with his grandmother, and I was so amazed because that was, for me, it would look like as a boyfriend dancing with a girlfriend. But it's just a cultural, you know, and this is just a style of dancing. And yeah, and that's why one day, after postponing it so long, I was like, no, that's the time to start. And the minute that I started that, I just fell in love with the music, with the moves, and just with, you know, everything.
Yeah, it sounds like you were dancing for multiple hours a day.
I was dancing for multiple hours a day, yeah. So I started first dancing by a couple of days a week. And then I just felt I like it so much. Every time after the dance class, and it was just like an hour dance class, I felt like my mood and everything, I'm just like, it's just so great. It's like the world changed. It's like you have your pink, I don't know, glasses on you. You know, everything is so good. I went to work because I worked night shifts in the hotel. And I loved all my guests even more than before. Just because I have a dance class. So I started to take some private lessons so I can kind of catch up and just do more than everybody else. And then there was just a moment in my life that I actually finally moved to St. Petersburg because I was moving from there back. And then, you know, and I found incredible school there, and I just loved all the teachers there. And what I liked even more, because they were natives from that countries, so I mean I still liked Russian teachers as well, and they were very good. But it's just amazing how you can dance with a person from that country, because the person from that country know for sure, and they all have a little bit different style, which is also good to know. Like in Bachata, I had three teachers. I had a Russian guy, I had a Cuban guy, and I have a guy from Colombia. And all of them danced a little different, but all Bachata was so beautiful, and I enjoyed that. It's like every class is something new. And I just couldn't leave that school, so I danced 3 hours a day every day.
I love that. When something just takes over your life with that much force in a loving way, right? That
yes.
All of a sudden everything else just kind of doesn't matter very much.
That's true.
I love it. And Latin dances and music, can you tell us how common those are in Russia?
Oh my, they are so popular right now. So, of course, I'm sure everybody knows Latin style, and it's pretty much popular, I think, in the US as well. But I think it just every year it just gets more and more popular across the world, and of course it's all in Russia. Like, then I was in St. Petersburg. It's not only that we have so many people from Latin America. I know it's common here in the United States, but the Latin countries are so close. And for them to fly to Russia, it's like you fly half of the world. It's very far away, and that's their choice that they want to fly to Russia, not to Europe, not to US, not somewhere else. And they fly there, and they teach dancing because it's so popular. And more teachers from Latin America arriving every year, and there are more and more schools. Like, then I just started that. I think there were maybe like 10 schools, like the big schools that everyone knew. And now that I moved and I still follow the news, you know, of our Russian version of Facebook, and there are like every month it looks like there is something new that opens, as well as there are a lot of clubs, and which is good that once you learn that, every day you have an opportunity to go to the club and you can just dance your music with the dancers which know
like
that
fun.
Style.
Yeah. That sounds like a lot of fun. And so you had said that in Russia, people are more likely to just do what they want to do. If you want to play music, you go play music. If you want to go dancing, you go dancing. And it's not as much as instructional as in just like a hobby and what you do in the evenings.
Yeah, yeah. They're just looking for something, you know, just to have something else rather than work. So again, as Russians, we are not really same time as Americans, so we don't really like go out and eat that much. For us, go out and eat it maybe something more like special, then you really meet with your friends or you have some family reunion, you know, something like that. So, and of course, as people work, they're a little tired after work and they just need something else. Not everyone can only enjoy the family. Not everyone has the family also as well. So they're just looking for something else to do that they can like, enjoy. And same was for me. I had only work. I did not really have anything else. Of course, I had my friends, but I just wanted to find something new. And I found dancing. And that was just the whole new world with new people, new friends, new opportunities, and just like stress relief from everything.
Yeah, you said earlier something that I thought was so fascinating, that when you first came here, you hadn't found a dance studio yet, and you were just jonesing to dance. And you would come home from work and think about all the problems at work. And then later when you started dancing again, poof, off went the problems. I guess they weren't very big. It was just something to think about when you weren't dancing.
Yeah, that's what happens with you then. You have a hobby that you love so much, because I think all you had is just in that side. And you don't really think about anything else anymore.
Well, that's the magic of dance. That's
yeah,
really
that's
beautiful.
True.
You're listening to WMPG, and if you're just joining us, welcome. This is New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is Anna Golindukhina. Originally from St. Petersburg, Russia, Anna and her fiancé, Lazaro, are devoted to dancing and have opened a studio called Danza Latina at 108 High Street in Portland. So by day, you work at CIEE, but by night, you dance and teach dancing. So tell us how we might get in on some of this fun.
Yeah, so if everyone wants to try, if everyone has any fear that you can dance, if anyone thinks that you have two left feet, you never danced, you can't dance, or it's just impossible for you to dance, I would say it's all not true. Everyone can dance. It just takes a little different time for people to learn. And it's just pretty much depending on your motivation. I think the most difficult part is just to make this step and try. And as from my experience, from my students, it's hard for them to come sometimes, but they just fell in love. So if anyone is interested to learn dancing, we teach salsa and bachata in our studio, which is Danza Latina, as you told. And you may find us if you would like to join bachata class. We run bachata class every Tuesday at 8 p.m., so it's 8 to 9 p.m. And if you don't know what bachata is originally from Dominican Republic, and it's very romantic, and it's slow dance, which I also recommend to start with because it's a little slow and it's just easy steps, but it's still so beautiful and you would not regret. I think it's like an alternative to some, ballroom things, and you can definitely make it as a wedding dance because it's just so beautiful. And then we also teach salsa every Saturday at 5 p.m., which is 5 to 6 p.m., and it's same place. So we teach it at 108 High Street in Portland, in our studio, Danza Latina. And salsa is originally from Cuba, and we actually teach in a Cuban salsa. So I'm sure a lot of you heard about salsa and maybe tried that. Just to mention, I hope you would not be that much disappointed, but you most likely tried American-style salsa, not the original Latin American, and we actually teach an original Latin America salsa, which is different. And yeah, if you want to try that, that's a lot of fun, and just come and dance with us.
I think that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, and we also, what we try to do, because we can see how our students are involved and they like dancing, and just having two classes a week, it's not enough for them. So at this moment, just actually recently, I think it was like 3-4 weeks ago, we started our event, Latin Nights, which we run in Casa Fiesta Bar and Grill. So it's a Latin party that we have every Saturday at night. So it's from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. And there are a lot of course, Latino people as well as natives, and they dance this style, salsa, bachata, and we also have some play some merengue and reggaeton there, as well as we have our students that can come and they can practice, which is great.
That sounds like a lot of fun too. And that's out on Forest Avenue?
Yeah, so it's 865 Forest Avenue in Casa Fiesta Bar and Grill.
Great. And so you can go out to dinner, do your thing. It sounds like Americans go out to dinner a lot, so we have to go out to dinner first. And then then swing by at 10 o'clock. You can get a little lesson, right? And then jump right in? Or how does that work?
Yeah, we are planning. Actually, we don't have a lesson yet because we have our bachata and salsa class on Tuesdays and Saturday in our school. But just, I think it will be April 30th. I think that is the last Saturday of this month. We are going to start the new class, which will be Latin Basics. And we will run it at Casa Fiesta just 1 hour before the party. So the class will be 9 to 10. And it will be only like, just a small amount, to pay and try that. And you will learn different styles. So we will not only teach salsa and bachata, but we would also concentrate on some other Latin dances like merengue, reggaeton, kizomba, cumbia maybe, something else, yeah.
Great. So you can learn the moves and then jump right in and have a fun Saturday night out at Casa Fiesta.
And you can eat, of course.
There's
that. Because you can eat some Mexican food.
That sounds wonderful, too. And can you explain the differences that you between the styles of like the American salsa and the Cuban salsa? How different are those?
Yeah, it can be a little bit confused for some people that you know that probably that are not really professional dancers, I would say, right? So in my understanding, mostly the American style salsa, it's then you dance it in a line, so it's only one line and you move there and back, and it has a lot of spins. And the difference why I would like always invite people to our class, just because some people are just afraid of dancing salsa because they said it's just so fast, it's just so technical, it has a lot of spins, I don't know how to make spins, and which is true, they just more about American style salsa. The Cuban salsa, or like any other Latin American, same style we practice in Russia, same style Europe is practicing, and pretty much the whole world is practicing this style. It dances in a circle rather than in line, so you're always moving like in a circle. You don't really have that many spins. So to my students, I would always say, then you just come to the class, you can just learn 3-4 moves, and the same footwork will stay with you the whole other moves, because only hands will change, which is very good. And it's just easy for people that have, again, maybe some, you know, problems with, like, memorizing the moves or anything like that. And it's just a lot of fun as well, because the Cuban salsa has opportunity to express yourself. So those who, like, people that know a lot of dancing, they just like, you know, to have some individual styling. It always like a part, and you can separate from your partner and just, you know, show who you are, how you dance, and yeah.
Oh, wow. And you can see you guys dancing together online, both on your Facebook page and your website.
Yes.
And I will link to your website, danzalatina2015.com.
Yes.
And people can go there and learn about you two and your studio. It's fun.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, we have pretty same link on Facebook, which will be facebook.com/danzalatina2015.
Yes, yeah. And D-A-N-Z-A.
Yeah.
Yeah. I noticed on your website that you intentionally keep your lessons very affordable. And I wonder if you can say more about why that's such a big part of your mission.
Yeah, because we, for us, for me and for my fiance, we have our job. So we have our job. So then we teach dancing. It's not our, like, you know, first job. It's not the job that gives us money to live to survive. So we really make it mostly just for fun and just because we love dancing so much. And we just want to bring this here to Maine, especially. And I mean, not to Maine. I mean, if you could bring that more, you know, to the U.S. in general. Because dancing is so much fun and just really helps a lot of people to meet new friends, maybe to meet your, you know, like second heart, just to forget about stress, just to do something else. And that was our mission when we started, because I wouldn't mind just teach it voluntary if I knew the place that want me, you know, and I would be absolutely open. So then we make our studio, we decided that we will just keep the price as less as we can. So I would pretty much call ourselves the cheapest place in Portland, you know, to dance, just because we're really interested so people can come and learn and then they can go and dance, because we want them not only dance in the class, but we want them then to go somewhere else, like a social dancing, they can also try that, and when they feel they can, it's like, it's just so great to see that.
Yes, it's not something we necessarily value in our culture here, you know. I think about in Russia, you know, dance classes are paid for by the state, right? When you're a kid, if you want to take dance or music, and here, not so much.
Yeah, well, in Russia, it's of course dependent. It's mostly, of course, our kids may have that, but for the adults, they have to come. But Russians, they just like dancing so much. So I would just say, when I was in Russia, I can say I probably spent a fourth part of my salary just for dancing. And a lot of people do that. But it's, you know, you wouldn't regret, because it's just really, you just open the new world for you that you probably wouldn't have met if you wouldn't go there.
Yes. When we're moving, we feel different.
Yeah.
Even if we don't do it for exercise, something happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where do you think your passion comes from for all this dancing?
Oh, I don't know. I would just say, as you mentioned earlier, I was always active. So I really like moves. I really like to put my energy, and I would call myself very, like, you know, energetic person and, you know, so on. So, and then I just opened dance. For me, dance was like a combination of everything that I tried before. It has like some, you know, some part of sports because you always move. It also has something from the theater because you can express yourself. It has music, and I love music so much. So it's like all together, and you don't have to split yourself between these different parts. You can just dance, and now will be everything, all included.
Well, that's it, right? It's who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are your hopes for this next period of your life in Maine?
So my main hopes are still connected with the dancing. So as we just started like 2 months ago, but we are getting more and more people and we can see how they like it. So I really hope that in the next year or two, we can just involve more people. We can just make more, you know, public events. We can just make more dance events for the community. So different people may try with, you know, different financial level, just to bring that to more people from all the ages, of course, up to like 80, you know, from maybe from 10, you know. There are kids that move very well at 3 years old, that's still fine, but we just want to involve as much as a community as we can. And both of us, our kind of small dream that we want to make, we just want to make some big event one day here in Portland, so all people would dance together like a flash mob, like we did earlier in St. Petersburg. My fiance was a part of that. We made the bachata record, and there were like 1,000 people dancing at the same time, which is great. And we hope one day we will have this in Maine.
I think I'll sign up right now to be part of that. That sounds wonderful. Anna, you are creating community of happy dancers already, and in such an authentic, affordable, and joyful way. Thank you for bringing more dancing to Portland and for being my guest today.
Thank you.
I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, Anna Golendukhina. Would you be so kind as to introduce the song you've chosen for us today to close the program?
Yeah, so it was a little hard choice because I could not actually choose between bachata and salsa that we teach and practice. So I let Kate, our DJ today, to choose one. And she decided that salsa is, you know, a lot of like more fun. And I hope this song will just give you enough energy for this Easter. And that will be the song called Casadera, and it's by Mark Anthony and Gente de la Zona.
Thank you. Miami me lo confirmó.